Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
So we are technically, I guess, on the better second half of January. And I say the better half because my birthday fell this weekend. And happy birthday to me. I'm so glad that you guys are celebrating with me as I add another year to the book. Let's not talk about how many years are in that book, but I'm excited. And we are just a little bit a month away from Valentine's Day when we'll soon be talking about our favorite gifts. So I guess this is about the time that we need to start dropping hints about our favorite chocolates or our favorite, I don't know, diamonds maybe. Speaking of chocolates, though, if you are a expectant mother, as 700,000 new women this month will find out that they are pregnant thanks to the holidays and a little bit of festivities outside. Well, I'm not even going to assume where the festivities happened. But anyways, if you are carrying a souvenir from the holidays, congratulations. But if you are one of those moms, you might want to check out Mother Nurture. They have delicious chocolate truffles that are enhanced with DHA and folic acid. They also have enhanced flavored waters that help you stay hydrated, which is so very important during the time that you are pregnant. Speaking about pregnant moms, our sponsor, Premama, is there for you as well. You can check them out at drinkpremama.com. They have a new digestive product that helps you with the digestive issues that you might come across when you're pregnant. You know, all those great things like constipation and cravings and everything else that produce such a beautiful little baby at the end of these 10 months. And yes, you are pregnant for 10 months, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending upon if you're one of those moms that love to be pregnant. I love to be pregnant. I enjoyed it and it made me happy. But anyways, congratulations to the 700,000 new moms. That's 700,000 new potential listeners that we have for Mom Talk Radio so that they can tune in on shows like today, where we are going to be talking with one mom who's a video producer and editor. And she's going to be talking about Reality Moms with Joey Fortman and her part there. We're going to be talking with the author of Chasing Slow, Courage to Journey Off the Beaten Path. And we'll be talking with the co-author of How to Talk to Your Little Ones So That Kids Will Listen, which is, as you know, a huge challenge for moms. And I got to say, like, they may listen, but do they really believe in what you're saying? You know, I've got a teenager and I got to tell you, there's moments when I wish that she would take more of my advice, but then I try to be a good mom and listen to what her needs are. So I'm hoping, whether it's little ones or big ones, that our guest today will help solve some of my problems. When we return, we're going to be talking with Kim Lim. She is a bioengineering professional who is going to bring some interesting perspective to the tips for being the CEO of your family and business.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I'd like to welcome to Mom Talk Radio Kim Lim. She brings over 15 years of bioengineering and validation experience to her field. She is a minority businesswoman who, through her career experiences, has worked with many, many companies. And her motto, See a Need, Feel a Need, explains her role as an influencer in her community and her family. But her most important job is being the mother of two sons. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to be the best CEO you can for your business and your family. So welcome, Kim, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me, Maria.
So which do you think is harder, being a CEO of your family or your business?
Oh, I think they're equally tough, but both extremely rewarding.
So tell me a little bit about your business so we can put that in perspective.
Sure. So Ultimate Labs, the company that I run, is a quality control laboratory, and we save lives through testing. All of the medications, therapeutics, biologics that you receive in the hospital or over the counter, we actually test those before they go to market to make sure they're safe for the public.
Oh, well, that's very, very cool. And then you have two children. I know one is a teenager, which probably counts for five toddlers. tell me a little bit about your family.
So I'm a single mom. My biological son, I had him 14 years ago now. And my younger son, who is 11, he's adopted because we all wanted to be a family together. And here we are, kind of going day by day, making it work.
That's fantastic. So tell me about, what are your tips for being the best CEO in both situations, in both roles?
So I really came up with what my mantra is to be brave. And it also can be an acronym for being present, ranting and raving about your employees and your kids, aspiring to keep your dreams alive, and celebrating all those victories that you have, even if they're small and large, and endeavoring, because everything really takes patience, perspiration, and persistence on a daily basis.
So one of the things that I love that you just said was being present. And I think so many of us sometimes we're running around and we are not really present to any one thing. So we operate in a space where we're not going to be successful at anything. Can you talk a little bit about what your definition of being present is?
Sure. Being present to me means being your true self. And I think there is a lot of misconception that you have to be this hardline boss at work, and then you got to go home and being the nurturing mother. And I think, you know, those are all facets of me as a person, but I bring both to the table. So being present is really actively listening to both your employees and your children and understanding their needs and wants and trying to come up with a plan and working with them together to create good products, which was what we do at work, and then really good people. And that's my hope for my children.
Yeah, absolutely. The raising good people is so, so important. So are there reminders that you give yourself about being present? Because like my big thing is always to look in the whites of the eyes of your children, and that helps you to become present. So are there tactical things that you do on an ongoing basis to keep yourself present?
Lots of breathing, Maria, lots of breathing. Just taking the 10 seconds to really listen and the 10 seconds to really understand somebody instead of brushing them off or, you know, cursory listening. And really, I like your idea, too, of looking them in the eye and really listening to them.
So what are the greatest challenges that you're finding in raising teenagers? Because I don't think a lot of moms talk about the specific challenges. What are they, and what have you found to be successful in that role?
Sure. So I don't know about you, but I am constantly reminding my teenager to really stop the back talking, to really, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Those little mantras of just being a kind person and becoming an active listener himself. Those are the points that I try to teach him on. It really is a daily basis, sometimes hourly.
Right. You know what I find is kind of interesting is it really in parenting, the apple really doesn't fall very far from the tree, you know, and sometimes, you know, we condemn our children or we discipline them for actions that they've learned from us. I'm just wondering, like, do you consciously say to yourself, like, okay, I want my child to be this way, so I act that way?
Absolutely. And I take full responsibility for my child being outspoken and independent and not really backing off of any issue either. But I think my job really is to steer him in the correct direction, to make sure that it's constructive and not destructive things that he's doing or saying.
I totally agree with that. Like, I think like I think it's up to us. Like, we give them those qualities, right? But then they're only teenagers, so they don't know how to manage them yet.
Right,
so
right.
It's up to us to instill those qualities in them, but also to help them manage those qualities.
I totally agree, too.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to a mom with a toddler who's trying to start their own business? Were there lessons that you learned along the way? And we only have 2 minutes, so
sure.
Make them important.
Yeah, so I really think the most important lesson is to be brave and just do it. Don't wait. Don't think there's going to be a perfect time, because there isn't. Just aspire to be the best person that you can be in both roles, and don't make sacrifices. There are trade-offs, but you shouldn't make sacrifices.
Yeah, absolutely. So real quickly, can you just tell everyone where they can find you or your business?
Sure. So my business is at www.ultimatelabsinc.com, and I've written a book recently called Inoculate Your Biotech, filled with encouragements and inspirational stories of things that have happened in the biotech industry, and that's on Amazon.
Well, that's very, very cool. What an inspiration you are for your children. So congratulations on all of your success, and we'll have to have you back on Mom Talk Radio to get an update on your journey. So thank you so much for being with us, and we have a link to Kim's site on Mom Talk Radio. You know, it's been a big weekend, and I'm sure that you've had political conversations with your children, and you know, those are healthy conversations, and like Kim was saying, it's always important to be present with our children and acknowledge that they're picking up on things going on around them. And it's up to us to help shape and help manage their expectations and how they react to events. So way to go, moms. Keep talking with your kids. And when we return, we're going to keep talking, because we're going to be talking with Catherine Dixon. She is a video producer and editor, and she's going to be talking about what she's doing these days with Reality Moms.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I am delighted to have with us today Catherine Dixon. She is a mother of two, a two-year-old and a seven-year-old. She's a video producer and editor, and she's recently been providing video social media content for Reality Moms with Joey Fortman. She does a series called Man Crush Monday, and I'm going to let her tell you, because the energy that she brings to this, you're definitely going to want to tune in. So welcome, Catherine, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, Maria. It's great to be here. Yes, I've been making some social media content video for Joey Fortman and Reality Moms. And I've been doing this on the side, because I am looking to more or less transition out of, you know, I work in broadcast television. I work on a lot of shows that air in prime time, and it's really demanding on my time. And like you said, I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. So I am moving into the digital sphere and working with great people like Joey Fortman.
So tell me about Man Crush Monday.
Man Crush Monday is my baby. This is bringing our favorite dads and men. I don't want to discriminate against non-fathers, but our favorite dads and men to the community. I shoot videos with them about what makes them crush worthy. And mostly I like to focus on someone who's an entrepreneur and who's doing something for themselves. And their family, obviously. And I like to talk about, you know, some of their funny dad stories. If they're not a dad, then an uncle will be suffice, because uncles have lots of great stories.
right.
But what they
and
have
so give me an example of someone that you've interviewed recently.
Okay. Most recent video that we have up on our site is Di Manuel. He is the founder of the Whole Life Fitness Manifesto. He is a trainer, a coach, a lifestyle coach, a brand ambassador, and the energy he has just blows me away. He is absolutely amazing, and he tells a really great story about one of his most shocking stories of fatherhood is being part of, you know, he has a 13-year-old daughter and 11-year-old daughter, and he had just learned right before I interviewed him that his mm-hmm. oldest daughter had had her first menstrual cycle.
Oh my gosh. So what kind of reaction does that bring out in a man?
Well, he didn't want to know. And what had happened was, I don't want to spoil too much of the story on him, but you know, his poor daughter, you know, they were visiting family over the Christmas holidays, which is where I met up with him. His family lived actually not very far from my family, so he's from Vancouver, I'm from Toronto. Found him in Brighton, Ontario, and their daughter had, you know, put her product in the washroom in the garbage pail, and the dog had actually pulled it out of the garbage pail
and dragged it
into the living room, which is how he found out.
So,
of course, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and it's something my husband's going to have to deal with at some point too.
So, you know, my husband, I traveled a lot when my kids were younger, and my husband used to, he's like, okay, you better have a plan because it's going to happen when, you know, you're out of town. And so I bought, the American Girl book about, you mm-hmm. know, my body and me and whatever. And, that seemed to suffice and did a really good job in being there for him when it did happen.
Oh,
unfortunately,
good.
I was there at home when it did happen, when it did go down. So anyways, that's great stuff. So how often does the show air and that kind of thing?
I'm trying to do it weekly. I took a break over the holidays, obviously, and I launched it in November with Joey. And of course, it's very, very time permitting. Number one, and number two is how often I can get men to volunteer to do this for me.
Right.
I've tried to hit up all of my wonderful neighbors and friends as much as I can, and now I'm going to be maybe shooting some at Dad 2.0 next month when I'm in San Diego. So I've already reached out to a few influencers and bloggers that I've met online and asked them if they would be interested, and I've had a very positive reaction from some of them, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, thank you so much. And you can find it. We have a link on Mom Talk Radio. You can also find it by going to realitymoms.com or following Joey Fortman on Facebook. Thank you so much, Catherine, for being with us today. And when we return, we're going to do something amazing as moms. We're going to chase slow.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
I am delighted to have with me a woman who is now an author. The book is called Chasing Slow, Courage to Journey Off the Beaten Path. A former art director and stylist in L.A., Erin Luckner, has been blogging and speaking for more than a decade. She's been seen in like all the things that you read, New York Times, Lucky, Parenting, and much more. She's also a renowned speaker. She lives in the Midwest with her husband and her toddler, thriving as they go. And I am excited to have her with us to find out how, as moms, we can slow down a bit. So welcome, Erin, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, so let me ask you, can you talk a little bit, give us a little background before the book on your blog, Design for Mankind. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the background of the blog.
Absolutely. I started blogging over a decade ago when I was an art director in Los Angeles, living a very fast-paced life, and it was just really the best way to catalog design inspiration for my clients. But I found that, you know, as we do, we sort of go through life checking off productivity lists and all of the things that we think that are expected of us. And I have slowly but surely, you know, through the journey for my own chasing slow, learned to kind of redefine and reevaluate my life. So now the blog is really more where I wrestle with faith and motherhood and writing and just our own slow, small journey.
So let's talk about Chasing Slow. Tell me a little bit about the book and what propelled you to write a book about chasing slow.
You know, the book that I set out to write, it's funny, was kind of a slow living manifesto. I mean, we had certainly slowed down our lives tremendously, left to L.A., moved to the Midwest. My husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and that was certainly a catalyst to kind of make some changes. I think just from the get-go, our relationship had always been fairly heavy, you know, in terms of honoring the weight and the light that we've been given. And so, you know, slowly but surely, we began to kind of strip away the excess of our lives. We reevaluated our food choices, pared down our belongings, quit a lot of those society expectations that people say you must have and know to be successful. And what I found was, you know, you can make all of these grand sweeping changes, but you're still yourself at the end of the day. You know, you're still, chasing slow is still a chase. So really that's the heart of the book isn't about why you shouldn't chase fast or why you should chase slow, but it's about reevaluating your priorities and your heart and choosing really what matters to you.
So did you see it? Did you see an enormous difference in your life when you made that choice? And how fast or how slow was that change?
Oh, that change is a daily decision. You know, I feel like we're still finding new ways to reassess and to do what works for us. So I would say no, that that once you begin kind of bucking the system and kind of living a way other than society, you know, I feel like we are taught to be responsible and productive and faster, better, higher, stronger. And when you kind of begin to pull away from that a little, whether it's pouring into your family instead or just making, you know, some very tangible decisions, then I think you assume it will be, you know, like a light has switched on or switched off and that you are suddenly magically happier. But it's really an everyday decision just to prioritize and to choose, you know, I'm going to choose to see today as a gift and not a given, right? That we only have this moment. We only have this day.
And so were there specific steps you took to slow down your life?
We did. We quit our jobs. Both with freelance, we reevaluated our finances quite a bit to afford to do so. We stopped making work the center of our lives. We stopped choosing the fancy car, the fancy house, the more, and we just chose to be content with enough. And I think out of, you know, all of those very tangible decisions, you know, that the closet clean out and the paring down your belongings and the moving to a smaller space and moving to a smaller town, starting a family. I think all of those decisions were great, yes, but it's the heart issue for us that that really is in need of constant reassessment, and that's really what's made the biggest change of all is just choosing to see our life differently instead of this rat race that we can't get off.
So how did you choose where you were going to move in the Midwest? Was it based on family or did you just pick the smallest town you found?
Definitely family. No. And so, I mean, that's why I think it's so important to make sure that slow living isn't formulaic, because I really don't even think it's about the small town. It's funny. You can live very fast in a small town. It's much more affordable and it's easier to prioritize things. But Yeah, we had family here, and we just really wanted that was a big priority to be closer to our family and to make sure that our kids knew their grandparents if they could. And we just experienced a series of losses and really felt like we needed to be back here.
So what do you hope that someone that reads your book will get out of it?
I hope that someone reading the book doesn't see slow living as a standard or an expectation or a benchmark that they have to meet, or certainly not a solution to a problem. Life isn't a problem. I think I want someone that reads this to see life as a gift of perspective and something that we get to experience every day, the good, the bad, the real, the hard. And I want people to use slow living as a tool and as a method, but not as the destination. You know, I want it to be the journey and not the destination, and less about arriving and more about enjoying.
That's some very powerful words, and we appreciate them so very much. We can find out more about you at designformankind.com, right? That's where we can find out about the book?
Yes, absolutely. I'm there daily.
Well, thank you so much, Erin, for sharing some of your time with us today. And it's some really good thought. And we have a link to your website, designformankind.com/chasingslow. On Mom Talk Radio. So thank you for sharing some of your day with us. You know, there's so many powerful things that Erin just spoke about. And, you know, slowing down sometimes isn't something that comes easy. I know it certainly doesn't come easy to me, but when you do slow down, you find that you discover a lot of new things in life. And that discovery is what takes you on the journey. So if you take away something today from Mom Talk Radio, think about slowing down just a little tiny bit. When we return, we're going to be talking with Joanna Faber. She is the co-author of How to Talk So Little Kids Will Listen.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
So our next guest has taken the mystery out of it for us. How to Talk So Little Kids Will Listen. I am looking forward to her next book, How to Talk So Teenage Kids Will Listen. Joanna Faber joins us. She's based in New York and conducts workshops all over the country. But she's here to talk about the award-winning book, How to Talk So Kids Can Learn, and her new book, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen. Welcome, Joanna, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
I've just jokingly said that your next book is How to Talk to Teens So That They'll Listen.
The skills are the same. The vocabulary is different. The subject matter is different. But the skills are the same.
Okay, well, get us started so that we can start young.
Yeah.
Let me just give you a scenario, and you can give me your input. The morning and bedtime, the beginning of the day and the end of the day, when most moms are tired or they're just not really focused on it and they got a lot on their plate and kids just aren't listening, you know, whether it's get dressed, get out of bed, whatever. How do we bring a little calmness to this process?
Sure. Those are the toughest times of day. You started me out with the hardest questions. You didn't ease me into it.
That's okay. This is mom talk after all.
So I'll ease myself into it by saying that parents need to get their kids to do things that kids are profoundly uninterested in doing. You know, we as parents, we're intensely interested in time. We want our kids to get out in the morning. We watch the clock. We don't want to be late. Kids couldn't care less. You know, we're intensely interested in cleanliness. For some reason, we're obsessed with that. You know, we want our kid to take a bath or brush his teeth. Kids couldn't care less. We want our kids to go to sleep at night so we can rest. You know, kids don't want the day to end. We want to get through the day without it feeling like a series of unpleasant conflicts. And it seems to us like the most efficient way to get a kid to do things is by telling them directly to do those things. You know, that like the straightest, you know, the quickest distance between two points is a straight line. You know, so we tell them, you know, put the cat down, get your coat on, you know, not later, now. So I would ask your listeners to imagine for a moment you come home from work and your partner says to you, oh, good, you're home. Now, take off your coat, go hang it up in the closet, sit down and eat your food. Hurry up. Did you hear me? I said, now. Now, I'm thinking that even if the food smells delicious and you can't wait to get off your feet, you may find yourself resisting because nobody likes to be told what to do, neither adults nor little children, certainly not teenagers. So what do we do? What do we do? You know, I just first want you to put yourself in that mindset where, you know, you're ordered, you're a little kid, you're ordered around all day long. Get up, get dressed, get your backpack, brush your teeth, get in the car, stop pushing. A kid has the same resentful feelings that we adults get when people order us around. What we have in our book is we have a lot of ideas and we have a lot of stories of parents using alternatives to the direct order, which causes resentment, which makes our job harder. You know, we want a way of talking to our kids that make them feel cooperative, because if they don't feel cooperative, we've lost most of the battle. So
we just have 2 minutes left, and I want to get at least one good tactic in there. Is there something that you could share?
Sure. So I'll give you one example of a skill from our book. One approach that most little kids really appreciate is to be playful. And if you're wondering what the heck does that mean, how am I supposed to be playful when my kid is driving me nuts, I'll give you this tip. Making an inanimate object talk is a surefire hit with the preschool crowd. So you're trying to get your kid's shoes on in the morning and he's wiggling around on the seat. Instead of clamping down on that 3-year-old's leg and yelling, hold still while I get these socks on. Don't you dare kick me. You'll have better luck if you animate the sock and make it talk to the child and say, oh, I feel so flat and cold. Won't someone put a nice warm foot in me? And all of a sudden you're going to have a child who's delighted to jam his foot into the sock. One mom took this.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that's a great example. Where can moms go to find your book or to find out more information about your workshops?
Sure. Our book is on Amazon, and we also have a new website called howtotalksolittlekidswilllisten.com, which has information about our book. People can write in, and we answer questions, and we have a little discussion forum there, and we'll be listing our upcoming workshops. There's also a workshop kit on my mom's website, who wrote How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk, on Adele Faber's website. You can actually buy a workshop kit and do your own workshop based on these books. It's a DIY.
A lot of great resources out there, and we have a link to all those websites on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Joanna, for being with us today. And when we return, we're going to get you a little help.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
We are delighted to have with us today Casey Edwards. She's a co-founder and CEO of Helper. The company eliminates scrambling at the last minute for a babysitter. And she's here to tell us all about her company that is doing some really amazing things using university sisters. So let's go to Casey. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you, Maria. It's great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your app and your website.
Great. So we're super excited. Helper is just 1 year old as of New Year's Eve that we just passed. And we bring babysitters that are screened and vetted to your home with as little as 3 hours notice and as much as 90 days out. So you can book in advance or get it last minute. And we aim to help parents who are busy and who may have moved around the country a little bit and don't have the coverage that they expected as parents. And so far, the reception has been very, very lovely. We've worked with some great families.
And so explain it to me. Where are these babysitters coming from? Is it like Uber of babysitting, or is it different?
You know, we don't like to say the Uber of, although, you know, the booking process is very similar to booking an Uber, where you can pop onto the app, put a little info about your family, and put the booking through, and then you're matched up with a vetted caregiver. Where we differ from Uber is that our screening process is a lot more rigorous, as you can imagine. We're bringing people to the home, although we also bring them to hotels and offices and lots of other creative places, weddings, events. But when we look for babysitters, so my previous company with my co-founder was called University Sitters, and that was a company we started when we were in college, and that was very organic growth. We started with the two of us babysitting, and when we were on the streets, you know, at the parks, we'd get parents, you know, tapping us on the shoulder, hey, can you help me on Saturday? And we built our client base this way, and we built our sitter base by starting with our roommates and then moving on beyond that, friends of friends, until we had a very robust screening process. And we've really just kind of pulled that into Helper, and the screening process is very secure. So we love to work with referrals. So sitters who have a history on the app can refer their friends. It's great. We'll do an in-person interview that's based on 8 years of experience in the child care industry. We'll run a background check. We use Checker, which will then go into if there's any local areas. They'll check the backgrounds there. CPR certifications are standard. And when we meet the person for an interview, we check their ID to make sure it checks, it goes along with their background check. And we just keep an eye as they go out on each job and make sure the community is vetting them as well.
And as far as payment, is it going to cost a mom any more or less, or is it about the same?
Well, so our hourly rate starts at $21 an hour in Los Angeles, and it goes up by $1 an hour per additional child. If price is prohibitive, we do encourage parents to pool together and book, book similar date nights or go out as couples. We are very excited about lowering the cost and continuing to bring that same value. So obviously the cost is a little more for the screening that we do, but we're very excited to be talking with employers and governments about reducing the cost of childcare by getting a little bit of a refinancing, by structuring the refinancing basically. So getting your boss to help subsidize it as a benefit, making sure your tax credits are easily achieved with our app. And so we're very, very concerned with making sure we bring top value and make it as affordable as possible for families.
And so tell me quickly the process. If a mom is interested, she would download your app?
Exactly. So download at the App Store. We're iOS only, but we do have CS, our customer service line, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. if you're on Android, and we can book it for you. But you can download the app, pop in your information. We need to know ages of the kids, any exceptionalities, and any sort of quirks for the family that can help the sitter be successful. You tell us the times you need, the day you need, where it's going to be, and we will, and then you put the booking through, and we'll make sure that you get booked with somebody who's delightful.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. The app, again, is called Helper. It's helper-app.com, where you can find out more information. Thank you, Casey, so much for being with us today. We appreciate your time, and good luck with the business. And I appreciate your time as we start our new, I guess, a new couple of years with a new president. It's an exciting time, and a time for us to talk to our children. And thanks for letting me talk to you today on Mom Talk Radio. I'll be back this time next week, or you can download our free app and take me with you anywhere you like. I'm Maria Bailey. Have a great week, everyone.